Can I introduce our next speaker, who is a career man who has just retired from Herbert Smith Freehills, which I'm sure some of you will know by repute is one of the leading city law firms. It is a global firm, of course, and I think it will be very interesting to hear what Jonathan Scott has to say as he takes the long view, looking back over a career in the city and seeing how perhaps working conditions and employment law have changed and might possibly be changing to enable everybody to partake of careers along the lines that Newnham is keen for its undergraduates to undertake. Jonathan, over to you.
Thank you. And I sort of feel a bit of a fraud here, I think, today. But as I was thinking about what I was going to say, I was thinking the subtitle might be Lessons Learnt on a Long Journey. And then I thought that, given the audience, you might well think that I had severe learning difficulties or was acutely lacking in self-awareness. So I think perhaps it's some observations on a long journey. And indeed, a journey that I think for many of us will be the same, a journey that has ended up in a place that you never expected to. I read law at St. Catherine's, went off for articles, as they were then called, to what was quite a large law firm. I would not have expected 35 years later to be chairing a business that was turning over £1 billion, had 450 partners and 2,500 lawyers and employed 5,000 people around the world. Some might say I was singularly ill-fitted to take on that role. And again, I think, you know, this is one of the really important things is that all of us, life for all of us, is a continuing learning process. I think I just wanted to pick up on something that Joanna said earlier, because I think it is really important that we have a sense of perspective when we're talking about this. I was talking to my mother last night, who is 90, and I was talking to her about one or two things, and two of them actually really struck me. She was talking about her aunt, who in 1940, age 21, passed her Law Society finals and qualified as a lawyer. That merited a picture in the Daily Mirror. Now, I know 1940 was grim days, but I mean, I think that is just an indication of the way in which the world has changed. In my mother's case, she was a graduate of Manchester University. My father was interviewed with my mother for appointment to a headmaster of one of the old Northern Direct Grant grammar schools. And my mother was interviewed as to, I think, to ascertain that she had no intention of going out to work. Nicole and I have had, I guess, what was for our generation quite a traditional marriage. She and Seri, who invited me to come and speak today, have both made sacrifices to enable me and Ian to fulfil our career ambitions. And now we live it through our daughter, who has just had her first baby, we watch with admiration at the way in which they share the tasks, far better than I shared the tasks. We seek to provide support to them. But all of that is really over a very short period of time. And I think the additional challenge as we talk about these issues and we think about these issues is that there are two other disruptors there. There's the technological revolution that is taking place, and that affects the way we work. It creates possibilities, it creates challenges. And there's also the fact that people are living longer. And I can remember, relatively young, the thing we talked about when we had lunch with our peer group was about our children, how we would educate them, the challenges of bringing up children. I'm very conscious that actually there's now a dual conversation. There's talking about your children, but there's also the challenge of actually looking after parents as well. So I think this living longer is another part of the piece, and it creates opportunities. But I think what really matters about this is that there are no answers. There's no formula for this. There are no simple answers. We're all going through a learning process, and that's why I think days like today are so important. Because actually it is by sharing experiences, it is by talking about different experiences that you live and learn. And listening to Bob did bring home for me, you know, some of those deep regrets about never being there. I used to leave at 6:30 in the morning, and on a good night I'd be home at 8 o'clock if I was in the country, if the trains ran, all those other things. And there are deep regrets, actually, that you weren't there, that you didn't participate. So I think it is a two-way process, and I'm very much aware of that. So just a word about my own career, because in a sense that gives the perspective of what I've learned along the way. I started at 23 with what was then Herbert Smith Freehills. I retired at the beginning of this year, age 59. And I guess there are three things that are different now. One is that as we look at our own children, they start their careers later. They will have several careers. I think I'm a freak in the sense of having been at one place for 35 years. That is not the norm. I mean, if you look back, take London Rubber Company, there will have been people who would have had their entire career there. The world has changed, I think, enormously in that way. And I'm obviously privileged that I've been able to stop at 59 and start to do other things, and I hope to put something back and to contribute. We were extraordinarily lucky when our first two children were born and we were living in West London. Nicole trained as a teacher and was still teaching part-time. She was able to teach part-time because the extraordinary woman who ran the school, who went by the name of Miss Tweedy Smith, and sort of somehow that sort of said it all about her, had worked out that having a creche in the school was absolutely brilliant, because she got all these mothers living in West London to come back and teach part-time. And for her, it was an absolutely brilliant business model. I think Nicole was looked on by our friends slightly unusual as a mother who was teaching part-time. I mean, and we're not talking that long ago. And again, I keep coming back to, I think, the fact that change, there aren't answers, the perspective. We then spent 5 years abroad living in Brussels. One of the challenges where you have two parents who are working is, you know, if you're asked by your business, which is increasingly the case, to go and do a stint abroad, that means very often the sacrifice for the other partner. These are joint decisions, they have to be. I think the other thing we became very conscious of, and I learned, just watching in Brussels, was it is much easier in a smaller city to have all sorts of solutions. The other difference, again in Brussels, was that actually the network, not just a family, but the social network, whether it was of nurseries, whether it was of what was called the école maternelle, all of those things were much better set up. And I think in the UK we're a long way behind, and I think that is one of the challenges. For me, one of my formative periods was as graduate recruitment partner. So I was doing that in the late 80s. We were at that stage certainly recruiting 50%, roughly 50-50 male-female. Clearly looking through to the partnership, the pattern was totally different. And that created its challenges. For me, probably the most interesting was as a group head leading one of our practice groups, the challenge of bringing people through, and I'll talk about that, and then to chairing a firm, which was a global law firm, and realizing again that, you know, different solutions in different places. So, for example, if you live in the Far East, first of all, you'll find a lot of your local staff have got very close family networks, which create real support, real help, but also the availability of childcare, the availability of which is at a much cheaper price, because perhaps in Hong Kong or Tokyo people are employing people from the Philippines. But But those things do make differences, and that one has to think about that. I think, as I say, going back for me, one of the really striking things was being recruitment partner, spending a lot of time trying to attract really talented people in. And interestingly, in a business that actually was quite unusual, because we had a number of very senior female partners who were slightly older than me. Some of you will perhaps know Caroline Goodall, who's an alumnus here at Newnham, who was 2 or 3 years ahead of me. Most of you will know Margaret Mountford. So we had a group of, and there were 2 or 3 others, of a generation who had come through. So it wasn't as if there weren't opportunities, there weren't possibilities. But I think one of the things that has struck me as I've looked at it over the years is that some of those people who are very dear friends and who I'm incredibly close to actually were not the right role models for everybody. And one of the things that I have learned is that actually what you need is a range of role models, a range of different experiences, and people talking about different experiences, and that is a really important element of driving change. But as I say, for me, very important was seeing the fact that we were recruiting this wonderfully talented group of people, and that actually we were spending a great deal of money, great deal of time invested in them, and that we were losing a very large proportion of them for a variety of reasons, but it didn't make a great deal of sense, and it was not good business sense. And I think, to me, the really big change that I have seen probably over the last 10 years, and there are an awful lot of dinosaurs in professional services firms, and lawyers are probably more conservative than most, so it has taken for many a long time for it to dawn. But I think the really fundamental change is that people have, males, obviously, I speak about that, have actually realized that it is a fundamental business imperative to change and to make these things work. You can't underestimate that. And I think the things that have brought it home and have driven that change are around changes in attitudes, are around shared parenting, but also just commercially, people looking outside and saying, do you know what, a very large number of the people who are giving us our business are women. And also finding that when we pitch for major accounts, and I used to lead the global Chevron account, and we'd be producing a 100-page pitch document, and we would be describing our community service activities, our diversity activities, and our gender activities, and that actually we were being marked to win business. And that, I think, was a very fundamental change for us, and I think for many other businesses. So again, looking at it from me personally, as a business leader rather than a practitioner rather than me personally, I guess one of the things that I was incredibly proud of was that the group of partners I led, 10-12, was mostly 50-50, male-female, and that on my watch I probably promoted more female partners. We tried any number of things. We tried part-time or flexi-time. We tried part-time working from home. We encourage people to think about different roles, perhaps taking a period out of the front line to do some of the support roles within the firm. We looked at job shares. We've compulsorily trialled agile working of late for both male and female and for everybody in practice area groups. We've trialled concierge services. And again, I think all of this just comes back to, for me, that there is no one single solution that will work for everybody, and it is about, and I'm not even going to try the single parent family, but I'm afraid that to me is beyond my pay grade, and I don't think I know how to even, but certainly when you are in a long-term relationship, then it is about finding solutions that, that work for you. And again, I see that illustrated from three of the partners who I mentored and came through. One, her husband was a corporate broker in the city. Whilst demanding, more often than not operated to a more regular timetable in terms of starting work early but finishing at a more regular time. I think, you know, things like that made a difference. I've watched another pair where they're both lawyers, both partners in city firms, where they have to have absolutely first-rate childcare, and that childcare has to be totally flexible. Because even though one of them would view themselves as the primary breadwinner and the other the second, that is incredibly demanding. And another partner in my group has a house husband. And so again, I don't think there is any one size fits all. What we are also seeing, and again, I think this is really important, is that it is not just the female associate solicitors who are taking these career options. We're seeing our young male career, some of our young male associates working part-time so that they can have days at home, have it, agreeing their contractual arrangements so that it may be part-time, it may be a day at home, but so that they can actively participate in their childcare. We're seeing some of them, again, going out of what we call the frontline roles into some of the supporting roles for periods so that they can be at home when their young children grow up. I think the change, the fact that people are working for longer is also going to create greater flexibility and greater opportunities. I think for my generation, there was a sort of, you went from university into a job. You know, your ambition was to become a partner if you did what I did, and you sort of progressed. And the thought of sort of taking 3 years out or 5 years out or whatever it was would have seemed very odd. I think for a number of reasons, there's far more flexibility as we look forward. So as a business, again, what do? We have set targets because we think that the leadership and the partnership have to be where we lead by example, we lead from the top. So we have set ourselves stretching targets of 30% for all, and we're going to struggle. I think it's 25% by, I say we, and I'm now retired, so I'm a consultant, but about 2018, and then by 2021 or something, 30%. For both partnership and all leadership roles. We have been, I think, quite unusual in that, for example, when we use headhunters, we refuse to accept lists from headhunters which don't have that 30% option in it. When we are looking at our promotion slates, the management will send back the slates and send people back if we don't think that they, again, if the slate is not going to give us the possibility to deliver. So I do think that things like setting targets are really important. But I think what's also really important are some of the work that we've done about our own women's network, around mentoring, around coaching, and around trying to create, as I've said, a range of role models. I think also what we've had to learn is that not everybody actually, whether it's male or female, is looking to pursue the career path that perhaps somebody like me did. So what have I observed? What have I learnt on this journey? I think most important, and it's been said by both the speakers before, but there is no single solution. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. I think these are very personal decisions. But when I say very personal decisions, I think they are very personal decisions within husband and wife, partners, whatever. And I hope that the change is a realization that these things have to be discussed. they have to be agreed. It is not one person on a journey and everybody else must come with them. And I think that, again, is, to me, incredibly important. I think there are a number of factors which you have to play out and you have to think about. I think some solutions are easier depending on where you are. I think London does create particular challenges. Looking at the bicycle, I think London creates a different challenge, which is the challenge of its size and its transport links and its commute. I could feel myself getting tense when I knew that some of the female members of the team who were working for me and were working to deadlines knew that they had something that they had to get out, or they thought they had to get out, and they had to get on a train and they had to be back to collect the child at 6 o'clock or 6:30 or whenever it was. And I think one should never underestimate that sort of pressure of being dependent on things which you cannot control for yourself. I think that solutions depend on support networks. They depend on support networks within the organisation. They depend on support networks that the organisation, they depend on teamwork and people helping and people covering and people sharing. But they also depend, I think, on support networks outside the working environment, whether it's grandparents who are around the corner, whether it's other parents who will help and share. But I think that you can't make these decisions just in isolation. Well, perhaps some people can, and perhaps some people are just incredibly determined, but I think for most of us, I think quality childcare, flexible childcare is absolutely key. Money clearly helps. Money does create more opportunities, but it also creates more challenges. And, you know, the discussion that I had with my daughter around the fact that actually, if she went back to work in a relatively well-paid role, way, way above the national average, actually she would be earning probably after the childcare, whatever it was, £20-30 a day. And is it worth doing it? And then again, that trade-off about, well, if I don't do it, do I go out of the market? What does it do for my career? These are not easy, they're not simple decisions. As I've said, I think London raises particular issues and particular challenges. I think there are choices that one can make around careers, and I think this is true for both sides in the relationship. If you have two people who are doing very, very stressful jobs where they don't control, but for whatever reason, their own sort of ability to work to a timetable, I think that creates challenges. We found within a law firm that there were different parts of the firm where we could make or where we've been much more successful in getting a much better balance. I worked as a competition or antitrust lawyer. That seemed to work very well. Penny was a real estate lawyer. Again, I think that works relatively well. Our disputes lawyers, we found we can make it work. Where we've really struggled is with corporate finance, and whether that is still the macho city, not just within a law firm. But again, I think, you know, people have choices. They can at least think about what they do. I think that it's quite striking to me that many in the city of the most successful women have been in fund management, which again I think gives a greater degree of control over working lives. But again, it's whether one partner or both partners. There are a range of options. I was just going to, finish off with just one or two thoughts. I think whatever one does, however you make it work, involves compromises, and involves compromises from both sides. You there will always be a sense of guilt, because actually you can't have it. As we all say to our children, you can't have everything. And I think that is just as true in this. I've just sort of, for my own thought, wondered where technology takes us to. And I think it does help, because it does create more flexibility, more opportunities to work from home. But I think also it creates more challenges, because there is no escape from technology. And I think that again is the dilemma, whether you're the controller of the technology or not. I think it will continue to affect the way in which many businesses operate. And that creates opportunities, because it is a great disruptor. I mean, we look at something like Uber. I worry in the law that actually it may not always work to the benefit of people. I think that there is a risk, and I think this particularly for women, there is a risk that some of the ways in which the disaggregation of legal services are working, so that you have the very high-end work done in the office or a particular place of business, and then you have some of the lower-value work done, which can be done at home, straightforward contract drafting, some of the more simpler things. I think there is a risk that one may see some of the women who have opted out completely taking that as an option. Now, that's a choice that can be made, but I think it would be an enormous pity if I think there's a risk that that can turn the clock back. So I think for me, perhaps the really important thing, though, is that people can talk about this. And we've talked, the extracts from the book, talking about what is my role. I think in many ways it was a taboo subject. I think the fact that we're here today is an enormous step forward, as is the ability to exchange ideas and to share, for people to realise that they're not alone in facing these challenges. None of us have a monopoly of wisdom. There is no sort of unique single answer. But actually, one of the most important things that I've learnt over the years is that actually working out what the problem is, not what the answer is, and actually then working through with somebody why you think it's a problem and what the answer might be, that sharing is perhaps the most important thing and the most important change, and has the greatest hope that we will continue to move ever faster along the road that it took us too long to get. So thank you.